So last week, as I was saying before, we were looking at the book of Lamentations, and we were looking at the difficulty that had happened with the Lamentations and that problem that went on. And it was just a difficult time for the children of Israel. That leads us up to the book of what we're going to look at today, and that's the book of Ezra. And we led up to that. I wanted to do a series of Ezra and Nehemiah, and I thought that we would start with Lamentations because that's the frame of mind that people had when they went off to captivity. And so we're going to take a look at what a little background of Ezra and some other things that were happening with the children of Israel. And then we'll dive into the book of Ezra, look at the first chapter, and we're going to see some astounding information that comes from a government official, a person that they were in captivity to. It's truly amazing when you read about the story of the children of Israel in their captivity to the Persians. In fact, it's truly amazing to think of their captivity to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. So let's take a look at some of those things. Despair to Hope is the title of my message today. Despair to Hope. And I did think about these books as we were going through a very difficult situation in all of our lives, in the world's lives, during the COVID restrictions. It's just difficult. There's just things we can't do that we used to do. In a sense, it's almost a form of captivity of our lives, you might say. And so I was thinking, what books of the Bible would kind of relate? I thought Ezra, Nehemiah kind of give, because it's about captivity and being freed from captivity. And hopefully that's where we're headed in our lives, in our daily lives. But just the whole concept of being freed from captivity has been on my mind as I've been thinking about, you know, what am I doing here? I'm hanging out at home, and how can I do things but do it within these COVID regulations? But then also in my spiritual walk, it's been making me think about that. What about those ones who believed in Jehovah God and all the difficulties they had? It's despair to hope, though, we see in what happens to the children of Israel. Now, the background is interesting. In fact, before we get to that, I'm just going to read through a couple of the verses in Ezra, and then we're going to go back and look at some books of the Bible that happened before Ezra. So this is chapter 1 of Ezra. This is Ezra 1, verse 1. And it says, "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in them." So we've already answered this question. What is going on with Israel? We go back to the Lamentations, don't we? Regret and difficulty is what's happening to the children of Israel. In fact, captivity, because they had disobeyed God, the punishment that God had given them was captivity to their enemies. And one of the most famous of the captors is who? It's Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Daniel chapter 3. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar," this is the great king of Babylon, "takes the children of Israel captive. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the hornpipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship excuse me, the worship the image that I have made well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? You go, that's the kind of guy that was the person that was leading, they were captive to, brothers and sisters in Christ. He was not a great guy. And he made their lives difficult. Now, most of you know this story, and God worked in Nebuchadnezzar's life and changed him, and in a sense transformed his way of thinking. God took care of them, even though it was difficult. This is Cyrus. We'll get to him in just a second. But God changed him and made his thinking different. Made their lives different. This is where they were. They were in captivity. And you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar changes because God spares the three Hebrew children from the lions or the fiery furnace. Later on, it's Daniel in the lion's den. But yeah, God preserves them even in captivity. And I just want to challenge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, God will provide all that you need during this time. Trust Him. Be in His Word. Spend time with Him with this extra time that you have. And God will provide for you. Nebuchadnezzar, from being the most wicked and despotic king to the believer and regarding the God of Israel as great. Now, this is a picture of someone's rendition of, actually, it's Cyrus, but Daniel's experience. Daniel had to deal with Nebuchadnezzar. He then had to deal with a wicked king named Belteshazzar. And so God did another amazing thing at Belteshazzar. Darius was one of the kings that was in charge of Babylon during the Persian Empire. He was not Cyrus. He was not the great king, but he was one of the sub-kings, you might say, one of the princes. And so you have Darius, and then you have Cyrus, which we read about in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. By the way, in the Persian, in some of the description of the Persians, there's some controversy about some of these kings and who exactly they were. We know they were there. We don't know exactly who that personality was, because some of the names that were given in the Bible, and you look at history, it's a little bit, they called them different things and that kind of thing. But we do know about Cyrus of chapter 10. And Cyrus is the same guy that we just read about in the book of Ezra. So there's an overlap here. These kings all presented their challenges, but Cyrus, again, we read about him in Ezra. What new direction takes place in Israel as we come to the book of Ezra? What new direction takes place? Let's go back to the scripture. Look what it says in that verse 1. First year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. The Lord stirred him up. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know exactly what it was that happened. But it says, God stirred up this man, Cyrus, this king. The king of Persia, and it was a vast kingdom. I don't have any maps for you, probably should have, but the map, it went like from India all the way through Europe. It was a massive kingdom that the Persians had set up. And it says, this king, Cyrus, the great king of Persia, he was stirred up by God. Don't ever think that these leaders that we're dealing with, that they can't be influenced by God. You know, I think of some leaders maybe look negatively about, like Putin or somebody like that. Don't ever be surprised if something happens to those leaders. And sometimes, maybe it's a positive thing that, wow, they did a good thing. We look at our own leaders. You know, we have Obama and Trump, our last presidents. And, you know, many people have all these opinions about them. And sometimes they do things and you go, why did they do that? But don't be surprised if God works in their life and challenges them to make decisions that are good. Sometimes they make bad decisions, but sometimes those decisions are, you might say, were stirred up by God. Don't be surprised when God uses these leaders for His glory. He does that sometimes, even when they can be personally evil. Cyrus, he wasn't a wonderfully great person. He never turned to God. He respected the Jewish religion, so we can maybe pat him on his back and say, thank you for respecting Jehovah God. But he never believed. Nebuchadnezzar was moved by God as well. We have a situation in the book of Daniel where you read about Nebuchadnezzar and you go, wow, that guy might be a believer and we might see him in heaven. That's an amazing thing to consider. But with Cyrus, he is stirred up by God. And does he stir up leaders today? Yes, he does. And we should be praying. We should pray for the leaders that are doing these things. We should pray for them. God works in the affairs of men, leaders and governments. Look what it says in verse 2. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. It's amazing to consider what Cyrus wanted to do. First of all, it says God stirred him up. Like God did something to challenge his heart. It was wow. And then here he says, given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me. He says, the Lord, the God of heaven. So it's interesting how it seems like he's recognizing Jehovah God. And he says, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Somehow God had stirred Cyrus up, this heathen king, to go to Jerusalem and build the house of God. Now again, he's a heathen king. We don't really have that information necessarily to know for sure if maybe he became a believer. I think a lot of people don't believe that he was from other things that we know about Cyrus. But what we have here, this is the scripture. And it says God had stirred him up to send the people back because Cyrus was this king of Persia. If you've studied the Persian kings, they're really interesting. You might have heard the law of the king, Medes and the Persians. Their kingdom was very organized. Each little division and province, they had a high regard for. And they would go in, they'd conquer them. They were brutal in conquering them. Sometimes the people would just give up. And here comes the Persian army, and yeah, we give up. Or maybe it was left over from the Babylonians. The Persians went in. They said, look, we have an organized kingdom. We're going to allow you to have self-government. We're still here. We're still important. We're still the big guys. But they allowed them to be organized and organize their own government. And so, for some reason, here's these captive Israelis. And Cyrus says, hey, it's time for you to go back. And the first thing you need to do is, because I know religion is so important to you, I know your God is so important to you, go back and build the house of God. Like, wow. City was in shambles. He takes all these captive people from Babylon and says, go back. Go back and rebuild Jerusalem. The house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Wow. Go home, he said. Go home. Whoever is among you, all his people, may his God be with him and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Wow. The words that this heathen king say are amazing. Very amazing as God is working. Verse 4, with whatever it takes. Look at verse 4. And let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So he's saying, take whatever you need to, in a sense, almost raise what you need to go back. Be assisted by the men of this place with silver and gold. What he's suggesting is amazing. I'm sending you back and I'm giving you what you have, what you've accumulated. I'm going to let you take it back and you're going to go and you're going to rebuild that city. It's going to be amazing. How else did Cyrus encourage Israel? Verses 5 and 6, look at this. Then rose up the heads of the fathers of the houses. This is the children of Israel, of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites. Everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. And all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, costly wares, besides all that was freely offered. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's like, I want you to go back to your homes, take whatever you have of value that's going to help you rebuild, and like get help from other Persians. It's truly amazing. Get help from these Persians. Go back and build the city of God. What a great opportunity. What a revival opportunity. And we're going to find out later when they go back to the children of Israel. Ezra opens up the book and he reads God's word and there's a revival that gets started. This is the beginning of a revival. It's the beginning of revival. I was just thinking, wouldn't that be great? If we get out of this social distancing and people, like, they want to meet. They want to go to church because they just want to meet, you know? Wouldn't it be great if God used that for his glory and people came to Jesus? That people would be changed and that people would have these kind of hearts. Like, not only did the children of Israel have these hearts, but the people of Babylon, the Persians there, had these hearts, helping them to do this. We see in verse 5 and 6. And then there's the matching funds program. We teachers know about that. Yeah, do these things and the federal government will match those funds that you're spending for your schools. These are the matching funds program. Look at this. Cyrus the king also brought out the vessel. So as he's looking at all that they're raising to take back to Jerusalem to rebuild, he looks at it and he goes, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. When Nebuchadnezzar took over, he went into the temple and he took all the, you know, all the things they used to worship the Lord. The candlesticks, the altars, the different decorations that were very expensive. They did this because they had a regard for God. They had a regard for Jehovah God, and like, he takes them all out. They had stored them somewhere. It was kind of interesting because the Persians, it wasn't the Persians, it was the Babylonians that brought all this stuff. So when the Persians took over from the Babylonians, they go in and there's maybe this room and they put a label on. These are the things of the house of God in Jerusalem. And here they are. He brought the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem, placed them in the house of his gods. Cyrus, king of Persia, brought these out in the charge of Midradath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Shezbazar, the prince of Judah. And this was the number of them, 30 basins of gold, 1,000 basins of silver, 29 censers, all this very valuable stuff, and says, take this back. Put it back into your house of God. Now, I was saying they put it in a room. Well, they put it in a room with the Persian gods, the Persian house of God, and they were going to take it back and put it in its rightful place. It was the matching funds program. Cyrus was very he planned this out for the children of Israel. God had changed his heart. What does this mean for us? God works in the affairs of men through men. And we find ourselves, and, you know, as Americans and our liberties, and you know, many of us are like, I can't stand these restrictions. What about American liberties? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have to take care of this in your own heart and balance whatever that is for you. God has put us under the authority of these men, these leaders. We have our governor. Here's something. Governor says, close down all the the governor says, I don't know what his exact words were, but he said something to the effect that we don't want people to meet where there's over 10 people. And I don't know how this translated down to our city government. So our city government goes and they cordon off all of the picnic tables or remove the picnic tables and shut down all the bathrooms. And I've heard there's a bit of controversy over whether that's what Ducey really meant. But we're under the authority of the city government as well. We're under authority of the president. We, in some ways, are under authority of the Congress in some ways. We're under authority of the judicial branch when they make decisions. Sometimes those decisions go against our heart and our heart and what we believe is good and right. Sometimes that happens. And we have struggles, and we need to do what's right. We need to follow God. God does tell us to follow men sometimes, people that are in authority. And Jesus made that perfectly clear in the New Testament. I'm going to challenge you during this time to seek the Lord on these things. And I know everybody had a little bit different understanding of social distancing. That's your heart. And you need to do what's right before a holy God. Even in this, you need to read and find out what people are thinking. I think that's important. Understand those political advantages that people, or the political views that people have, and look at them and ask God to show you what's right. God works in the affairs of men through men, and we should find ourselves under that and ask God to help us and show us how to walk. Don't always believe your political, social, job-related leaders' decisions will turn out bad in the end. Sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think, man, those authorities are just out of control. We should pray for them. And we read about Cyrus. Do you think the children, when they heard this proclamation, it must have floored them. They must have like, wow. And they said, God, this must be you. Cyrus is letting us go home. Wow. No, God is using them to draw you close to the Savior. Not always. Not always. He might do some things that make it difficult for you to serve God. Or maybe their difficulty is helping you to draw closer to God. You ever thought about that? Religious persecution in places like, in nations where Jesus, the name of Jesus, is persecuted, looked down upon, and people suffer persecution, but sometimes you see this great revival amongst people. So when things happen, even these things happen, may we grow, may you, my challenge for you is more time to spend in God's Word. Almost all of us have more time to spend in God's Word. Find a plan to be in the Word of God. You know, we watched the War Room. You guys remember that movie? Wow, it's such an interesting movie. That old lady was praying all the time and God was answering prayer, and it was like fantastic. And she believed that God would do things. And, you know, it wasn't always what she thought it should be. But she prayed. And we have time to pray. That's my challenge. If you think about the children of Israel in Ezra and what they went through. Today, as you go throughout your week, think about these things. How are you going to come out of this COVID restriction time? Dedicate it to be with the believers and the assembling of the believers. I think that would be a great thing to dedicate to the Lord. You're just going to be there. I appreciate you being here today, and you should be dedicated to be here today if you're a part of our group and you've made that commitment. Or somewhere else. And fellowshipping with other believers is such a big part of the of our walk with God. And I hope you're doing that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to be together in this very different kind of way, this 21st century way. Lord, you've used it so far in my heart, my life, just these different online opportunities, encouragement from musicians and other preachers that I've been able to spend time with. You know, we have a friend who shows up every single day singing a different hymn, and he sings and plays it, and then he says a few words and it challenges my heart. Lord, I pray that we would obey you during this difficult time. Let us obey you. Let us bend our knee and trust you during this time. Help us to social distance as we can. Help us to ease back from that under the authority of those officials that are making those decisions. May we be on board. And may we encourage others to do the same. And then as we do that, may we be examples for the cause of Jesus Christ. The wonderful gospel, which tells us that Jesus went to the cross and died, gave up his life for all of us and shed his blood. And we just need to ask him to come into our heart, repent of our sin. May we share that wonderful gospel. Maybe there's somebody here who's never done that. I pray they would. I pray they'd seek out somebody. What is the plan of salvation? And come to Jesus. Thank you for our time together, the blessed time of fellowship, singing the great hymns, and preaching the word of God. We thank you so much for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us today.